Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... Black Mirror! Again!
Hey.
We're pitching Black Mirror Season 5. Like we did last week, we've got three more episodes, all the titles of, to pitch.
We've been commissioned for the next three episodes. What are you going to do? Yeah. You know,
because Phoned In was such a hit.
Such a classic, instant classic.
They loved it so much.
Emmy-nominated Phoned In.
Banksy-nominated Phoned In. Banksy phoned in and told us that we've been nominated for a Banksy Award.
No, he doesn't phone, though. He sends a pigeon.
Yeah.
He sends a pigeon with a spray can on its back.
So he does all his paintings while no one sees him.
And then expects you to intuit what he meant. he expects you to paint his picture on the wall in spray can.
Just gives you a stencil and a spray can, and you just spray it on the wall, just like, oh, that's what you meant.
You've been nominated. All right, cheers, Banksy.
Thanks for that, Banksy.
Thanks, lad.
So, to remind you all, we're pitching Black Mirror episodes, season 5 of Black Mirror. This is Charlie Brooker's on holiday or something, probably.
Yep.
And we have got the job, so we've decided we're going to take your titles and turn them into episodes because we've got no better ideas. To remind you all, we all have one go of the... That's not Black Mirror, that's Banksy Award, where we can just decide, nah, this is just too critical of technology instead of people's use of technology.
This is too critical of modern times.
Yeah. Just needlessly sort of like, oh, it's better back in my day sort of stuff. Mm. So we can call that's Banksy sneaking around. And it has one of two outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
One is we just stop doing whatever we're doing. Two is my favourite one, which is Banksy becomes that character. That character is Banksy, because nobody knows who he is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well sorted.
The Hooded Man. We've asked you to give us Black Mirror titles, which we pitch the episodes around, much like we do with films every week, just Black Mirror, for some reason.
It's because.
We don't know. So
it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fun. Black Mirror is a lot of fun. These titles all given to us from facebook.com/likesapitchpodcast. You can give us film titles any time of the week for us to pitch, although we do ask for genre based ones every week as well. You can go to Twitter @likesapitchshow for the same thing as well. Give us a follow, give us a like,
all the things above.
Yeah,
they are good times. So
mm-hmm.
Should we head on with the first episode of the fourth episode of this season of Black Mirror.
Let's do it.
I'll read out the ones we've got to pitch this week. They are from Ross_Originals. We've got This Is Not My Face.
I like it.
Right, okay.
They're getting a bit, like, last week was all very technology-based. These ones I've picked the wild cards.
Oh, okay, good, okay.
So, This Is Not My Face. Phil Walters, we've got Streaming Bloody Murder.
I thought Phil Walters was the name of the episode title, and I was like, wow,
that is a wild card.
Phil Walters has given us his name.
Not your name.
Streaming Bloody Murder.
Not Call Me By Your Name, but Phil Walters, his name.
And from Charlotte Russell, we've got You Look Beautiful in Black.
Oh, wow, interesting.
So those are all pretty interesting titles this week.
Yeah.
Last week we were very sparse, very sort of cryptic with the titles. These ones have got a little bit more...
A little more concrete.
I've got some quite dark ideas for some of these.
Yeah.
That I'm thinking I might have to just put in a little box somewhere and never speak to the world.
I've got an idea for the first one. I've got an idea for This Is Not My Face.
Wait. Does it star John Travolta and Nicolas Cage?
Partially.
Okay.
So, in a post John Travolta and Nicolas Cage world,
what does that world look like?
They've both been eliminated
after Face Off, right? After Face Off happened, and the technology was perfected, where you can take off and on faces through a minor operation, right? That removal of faces is used to for things where you need to maintain anonymity, like jury duty.
Oh.
So when you go into jury duty, this episode is going to follow someone who goes into jury duty and they take your face off and put on a stock face.
Yeah.
So all the jury look the same.
It's like if you've ever seen the film A Scanner Darkly, they wear scramble suits. Which is like a onesie, which
seems
projects.
Easier.
Yeah,
yeah.
It seems much easier than this. So they're all wearing masks of different people.
Yeah, yes.
No, the same. It's the same one. They're all the same face.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it could be either.
They're all either. Right. You've got a choice, right? Of John Travolta or Nick Cage.
No, it's like donated faces. From people who donate their organs.
Yeah.
Or you can have crash test dummy no face.
Oh my god.
Oh, which is spookier.
Yeah. So, and I feel like.
I think for jurors, I think this has got to be about a jury in a case, and that's got to revolve around this specific incident.
Guy gets called up for jury duty.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think for that, it's probably got to be a more basic face, not a face of a real person that's been translated in.
So normally this would be to protect the identity of jurors, right?
And that's what it is.
And also to make sure that outside of the court case they can't be threatened and stuff. If you're walking around with your basic crash test dummy face while the entire court case is going, you're about going to your hotel while you're doing jury duty and you're right? And you're just gonna put you can't take it off. You can't take your face off. That's just your face. So aren't you a bigger target if you've got the crash test dummy face on?
No. I think they've got a special system for a room that you go into to take it off by yourself and then get sort of streamed out of the building into a different place. Mm. You know, and there is a system to make sure the jurors never interact with each other.
Again,
and
the scramble suit from Scandal. Yeah. They walk into a room. There's a little green light that tells them they can go out and.
So I think the plot of this is so let's say that Danny Dyer is on trial.
All right.
For a bad crime.
Doing a bad movie.
Practically criminal movie, right?
He actually killed an extra on set.
By accident or on purpose?
We don't know.
I don't think Danny Dyer's got the heart to kill someone.
Yeah, I got the heart. Danny Dyer.
Yeah, I got the courage to kill someone.
Yeah, I got the balls to kill a man. Danny Dyer.
So, I think the plot of this episode is one of Danny Dyer's henchmen trying to get in on the jury to change the plea, to change the vote and to find him not guilty, to prevent him from being charged.
Okay.
So I think you've got to have you've got to have a person that is being threatened and or bribed potentially at the start to change places with this person. Ooh. Because the face thing means anyone could be put back in that jury. You wouldn't know because the people don't know who's in the jury because that would make them a victim in any case.
This is not my face, says to me.
Mm.
If someone has been we could have a coincidence thing, right? So if it's people's faces from donors to wear while they're in there, if one of those donors happened to be wanted by the mob for a previous
oh my god
hit, and then they're seen as being a juror in this thing,
and it gets stuck on his face, it won't come off.
The mob assault this court case to get Danny Dyer out or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
but they're
the machines, the power's cut, the machines to reattach that face to change them back down.
Yeah.
They've got to evacuate. And so they're left for the next 2 weeks with this face of someone the mob is trying to kill.
I thought we were doing crash test dummy. So the mob is trying to kill a crash test dummy.
No, so it's like I don't know.
I want my car company to succeed. This crash test dummy keeps getting put out. That crash test dummy needs to get whacked.
That is a plot of an episode of Pushing Daisies.
Wow.
Right, Anna Kendrick gets the face of Maggie Smith. And Maggie Smith is wanted either by the police or by the mob.
She lived next to one of those, like a mob member, and sort of ended up calling them in just because she thought they were having a party and it was too loud, but actually they were killing the guy.
Yes.
So she ratted them out without realizing it. And now she's like...
She's been the juror on two separate... She's been like... Yeah. She's been a witness and now a juror on a separate thing.
Yeah, but Maggie Smith was, you know... She gave up a face to go into the witness protection program and the face got put into the wrong rotation. It shouldn't have been in the jury pool. It should have been got rid of completely.
What an oversight.
An oversight. People not looking after technology properly caused a problem.
So Danny Dyer ends up...
he's on trial for this...
Anna Kendrick,
who has Maggie Smith's face.
Maggie Smith's face.
Yeah.
Same body, just Maggie Smith's face.
Yeah. That happens. I don't know what happens after that. Like, they catch it with they've got to say, this is not my face.
Maybe she chases her... He chases her into the face-making thing and Danny Dyer gets...
Yeah, that's where... That's the climax of all. She goes to... She manages to sort of evade them for long enough. She goes to try and get her face changed back and they catch up to her at that plant and it's like a... You know, like in Chicken Run where they're running through the pie-making machine.
Yeah.
It's that, but in a face-changing machine.
Or someone gets the face of a serial killer.
Right.
Who's...
Oh no, you're not going to do the devil hand thing, are you?
No.
The face starts making them want to kill.
No.
The face starts making them want to kill and stuff. But,
but.
The parent of the child that man killed.
Yeah.
Or one of the children that he killed or something.
Yeah.
Gets, like, as they're on jury duty.
Yeah.
Like, they get sort of pulled off by the parent who's like seen them like, on the lunch break or something and just followed, like completely just sort of distracted by
would you not know if you had the face of a serial killer on?
They wouldn't let them look in the
it's
mirror.
An oversight.
Yeah.
Not another
maybe that's
one.
What it is. Maybe it's 12 little vignettes about how badly it's gone wrong for each of these jurors. Because the whole face-making machine, so nobody can get their face changed back. They've all got the wrong face.
No, someone's fucked with it on purpose.
The mob.
Like a fucking Riddler dude. He's like, I've put 12 of the worst, almost dangerous faces in history on your faces. And now I've switched the face machine off.
Yeah.
The defacer.
Yeah, the defacer.
So it's like...
I love how we're hanging so much of this plot on an admin oversight.
It's not... No, because it's Jim Carrey Riddler now. It's like a guy who's angry against the justice system has happens to be like a technician on this defacer machine.
Yeah.
Has gone around collecting a load of faces that shouldn't be used for it and put them in on purpose.
Yeah.
So now we follow the victims, essentially, and so does he.
So
12 little vignettes.
This parents follow this person back to their hotel room and he's just torturing them. And then he's like, this is not my face! Like, bloodied and stuff. And I'm just doing jury duty! And it's like, no, you've got the face of the killer of my child.
You've got the face of Ted Bundy, now face the... consequences.
Throws them out the window.
It's a little bit white bear, isn't it?
It's always throwing out a window with you, isn't it, Tom?
Tom's big on defenestration. It's his favourite thing.
Throwing them out a window, it's all good. I just want to see the smash. smashing the land on the ground, I like it.
When Tom says, let me smash, he does not... He means defenestration.
Yeah.
Straight out the window.
Out you go.
Much like this idea for a Black Mirror episode. Out the window.
Right, so that's 2 out of 12.
Right, carry on.
Right,
who else's face could you get?
You've got the game of Banksy. I've got the game of does this episode end with them thrown out the window?
I've got the game of make it make sense.
Face of a politician? That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, face of the judges... Mum.
Okay. But they're all wearing her. So when the judge like tries to bang the gavel, like, order, order, He looks over, or she looks over and just sees 12 versions of her mum. Looking back at it, just, Jesus Christ.
Oh, dear.
I thought I was the one doing the judging. That's what she says.
What's this in aid of? Like, what is the plan?
It's just a story. Okay. It doesn't have to be in aid of a thing. It doesn't have to have a point.
I mean,
it's just a story. I mean,
it's supposed to be Black Mirror.
Well, right, yeah,
but just some things happen.
Can we make an anthology series called Just Some Things Happen?
Yeah.
It's called Inside Number 9, mate. Still good. Watch it. It's fun. The point is
justice blind?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Is it blind? It's not.
No.
Never is.
I've just realised I've got nothing to do with taking the faces off people.
No, but the
identity of jurors.
The guy who has set it up, the guy who sabotaged it, has been hurt in some way by the program.
Well, imagine it's not real people's faces that you get.
Mm.
Or it's not the actual face.
Yeah.
It's some kind of plasticity that goes onto, like, your face. They generate it from a 3D model.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? So it's like, almost like 3D print. They 3D print your face.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That way, they can pull people from any time. Mm. So when this person's just pulling pranks, it could be like serial killers from 100 years ago that nobody remembers the name.
12 Jack the Rippers.
Like,
whose face they have on record.
Yeah.
Imagine turning around and seeing 12 Jack the Rippers judging you for your crimes.
I mean, the amount of cases we're going to solve with this. Like, we know who Jack the Ripper is now, guys. Come on, we've solved it.
Well, what I'm saying is that this, like, kid, essentially, like, this, like, 19-year-old dude who's working this machine.
Mm. Yeah.
Is pulling pranks, and each different case happens to be like he's like, oh, I put all the American presidents on. Nobody recognizes them, or all the like the founding fathers on in there.
Yeah.
Nobody recognizes them like properly in real life,
yeah.
So nobody noticed.
Yeah,
and it just gets big. This prank gets bigger and bigger every time until it's like 12 of the judge's mum, and then it just so happens that like. When they've chosen like a load of, they're getting more and more politically weird about it, right?
Yeah.
So then they choose like politicians, like hate preachers, just the like horrible people from Earth, horrible people.
Last week was aliens.
He's chosen them, and that's when like the court gets broken into, and the machine goes down, and these people are stuck with the thing, and they all come and confront this guy. Like, what? We want our faces back. How do we get our faces back?
Or
the guy who invented it is visited by the ghost of George Washington.
I feel like
my face.
Or it is that. The person running it is going back to, because we've got like 5 different plots for this one episode happening right now. Which one is it?
I think the latest prank one.
It's all of them consistent.
So no, I think it's, let's go back to this one with the serial, the person who killed someone's child, right?
Well, that can
the
happen.
The person running the machine is the person whose child got killed, and they have picked the killer's face and put it on all the jurors so they can hunt them all down and kill them and get some therapy out of it. Bit dark.
Yeah, bit dark.
But so it's misuse of technology.
So is Black Mirror.
But, yeah, the parent kills the person.
Yeah, because this...
And then just grabs a homeless person... Takes the face off, puts it on the homeless person.
kills another person.
Because
becomes a serial killer
because
himself.
This is it. Is the thing with serial killers is that the actual killing is never as satisfying as the fantasy of it.
Mm.
I read a lot of books. I'm weird.
I do a lot of killings.
I practice. So that's like one of the big theories. That's why they keep doing it. It's because it's never as perfect as fantasy in their head.
Mm.
So that's what this person's done is they fantasize about getting revenge on this person who killed their child.
Yeah.
And they did they either they couldn't do it, like they, the, this killer died before they got a handle on them,
yeah,
or it wasn't, didn't live up to the thing. They still don't fit. They haven't, it hasn't fixed anything that's gone wrong. You know, that kid's still gone. But now this is their therapy of like trying to.
I think that idea has definitely got legs,
but no faces.
And faces.
No faces. Yeah, just like ripping the face off the
yeah,
or
regularly leaving people with,
or we take the face taking machine out of it. I mean, well, or the guy is the inventor of the face taking machine, and in like this killer gets let off, and he kidnaps him, puts him in the face machine, and just keeps kills him. And then takes the face off, puts it on another person, kills him again.
Yeah.
And then again and again and again. And just to get his... like, because the fantasy, like killing, like you said, the fantasy of killing someone is much better than actual killing someone.
Yeah.
So when you kill someone, it's like that anti-climax. Like, oh, I need that hit again.
Yeah.
Addicted to killing this one person.
I'm addicted to killing this one person.
Yeah.
And then where does this is not my face come from? I guess the people, that's what the people say.
That's what the people say every time. This isn't my face!
I know!
No. It ends with the person he puts on, the people have been getting stronger, and this person's been getting more and more manic, so they're losing control. And this person takes advantage of it, flips him around, puts him in the face machine, so he gets the serial killer's face. And they get to escape, and he's just looked in the mirror, and it's like, it's this face he's been killing for so long, and I was like, this isn't my face! And he's trying to claw it off, and that's the end.
This is not my face, that's what all the people say.
I mean, that was 12 pictures in, like, one title. Which one did we want? the actual one?
I think the parent could be played by Cillian Murphy.
I like it, definitely. Yeah. I think Danny Dyer is the...
The killer.
Yeah. Courtney is Courtney Cox.
Got a nasty face. Courtney Cox?
Yep.
Killer is Courtney Cox?
Yeah.
Right.
No, actually, women are almost never serial killers.
And we don't get caught. We use poisons. Statistical fact.
Jesus. Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase
is the killer.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I can believe it.
You can get behind that.
I believe it. I'd see it. That was a shamble.
So, this is not my face. We got there in the end.
We did it.
So, again, from Phil Walters, we've got Streaming Bloody Murder.
Ooh. That's one we just pitched, isn't it? Is that happens, but it's on Facebook Live.
I'm thinking it's a streaming service that plays like on-demand CCTV footage of actual murders.
I thought you went from the download kind of stream. Yeah. I was thinking upload stream like Twitch.
It's like vision. It's the next YouTube thing. It's the next big YouTube thing. It's like what's that dickhead we don't want to talk about who put a video of a dead body in Japan?
Logan Paul.
Wanker, yeah. That wanker. So it's like the next step from that is the YouTube. Everyone sees how famous this guy got from doing that. Like, and they're so, like, oh. So people. I mean, to be fair, this is also a genuine case that happened. A guy did put a video of himself killing somebody online to get attention.
Yeah,
bit dark, but let's make it not a real one.
Well, it was just a black market thing. It's only like snuff films have been a thing forever, right?
Yeah.
Like,
since the invention of films.
Yeah.
And so, it's only a matter of time until there's a...
snuff stream.
Like, GoPro live stream of serial killing.
It's a snuff stream.
Or, it's the streaming of executions of criminals.
Oh. That's...
in Florida. So, it's like streaming of death row. It's death row streaming.
That's already been done in an episode. Could you call that murder?
Like, I mean, it's... yes, you could call that murder, but is it like, I don't know, linguistically appropriate to call it murder in the title?
Streaming bloody murder. It's a bit on the nose, isn't it? Yeah.
Maybe it's like a Hunger Games, but of serial killers. That's a new death row.
There you go.
I mean, this has kind of already been done, hasn't it?
Mm.
I mean, White Bear was an episode.
But, like, not like they're forced to kill each other.
Yeah, they've got, like, GoPros on.
Yeah.
And they, and that's the thing, is that they stay alive as long as they kill. Mm. As long as they're not dead. So you have ones that are, like, really popular.
Like famous, it goes on the celebrity status of some serial killers.
Which is, we can make a comment here about how when people go and shoot up a school, the media is the first one to give their name and give them celebrity status.
But right, there's a twist to this because like we just see it from the point of view of one serial killer dropped in this forest.
Yeah.
Turns out that they're not actually serial killers. They didn't start out as serial killers.
Right.
But it's a thing. It's a look at how we...
They've been pushed into it.
How we celebritize serial killers.
Yeah.
Like, okay. We know Ted Bundy and Charles Manson and...
Yeah.
Bronson as well and stuff like that. We
sort all of the like, other names.
Yeah, all the other
I mean, I'm
killers.
Not going to list them because I'm going to sound mental because
no,
I know a lot.
Please list all the serial killers.
Right, Jeffrey Dahmer, Fred and Rose West. It's a like... Who's gonna be the next Jack the Ripper?
America's got the next top serial killer.
America's next top murderer, bro.
So
my favorite murderer.
So who are we following and why?
We are following Chris Pratt.
And he's been arrested for something minor.
Yeah,
like manslaughter. Like he like drunk drove. And
hit someone with a car.
I say minor. You know what I mean? Like, not a serial killing.
Yeah, yeah. Not a deliberate.
I ramped that up as
killer.
I went along.
It's either like White Bear, in which we sympathise with Chris Pratt stuck in a arena where he's fighting people, and then we realise at the end that they were all serial killers.
Yeah,
and he murdered a load of people, or they're all innocents. But they're forced to being serial killers by society.
So here's the thing, is that like, I would like this to be shot really, really high action. So that, and then you can cut away to it, to the long shots. And I kind of want it to be like, at the end of the thing, they're all grabbing cameras, and then they grab the final camera, which is the one that we're watching through, fourth wall break, and call you out on being a voyeur of violence for watching the show, and then they stamp on it.
The people who are in the show, I'm going with the idea of they're all innocent, but they're supposed to be serial killers. They're the people who tune in every week. They're the diehard fans of this show.
Right.
So they're all sick people.
Who've started committing crimes to get onto the show?
No. They watch it. They get a thrill out of watching people kill each other. And because they've been watching it so adamantly.
They've been tracking their IP and stuff.
Yeah.
They go and kidnap them off the street.
Yeah.
And then you can have a whole thing of like... hey, it's me, Johnny Flapjacks. I'm here to talk you through the new batch. They're all terrible people, and we'll prove it. And then they put them in deliberate situations to try and prove that these people out of context are terrible people. So they put them in, like, I don't know, it'd have to be like a complex moral situation, but they only show the part where, like, Chris Pratt's like killing a kitten to try and get a key.
Kill the kitten, or we'll kill your grandma.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
we're gonna take that bit out.
Jeez.
It's Gruffo Growlface, and he's a real bad man. He killed this kitten. Watch.
Oh, that noise! Why'd you make that noise?
But, right, so there's Chris Pratt who's like, watches it, sort of just puts it on and then falls asleep to it because he's got a drinking problem. And he's had a manslaughter charge in the past.
Yeah.
So they're like, alright, this guy's clearly an evil bastard, but he never really watches it. But there's also, in contrast to that, someone else has come in who is like, they want to be in there. They watch it. And they watch it obsessively, and they're basically training for it. Like, they lift weights and shit, and they're, like, doing hand-to-hand combat. They are ready to get in there and wreck it up. And it's like that versus that competition between someone who doesn't want to do it and someone who really does.
Maybe it's sort of like, you know in Big Brother, how if you have too many people who want to be there, it gets boring.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, because they all want to be there. Clearly they all want to be there. But if you have too many people who are... of the archetype of, like, I want to be famous on Big Brother.
Yeah.
It gets very boring, which is why I don't watch Big Brother.
Yep.
Imagine, like, yeah, so the producers are like, oh, ratings are down. We need to figure out something else. These people are too into it. It's just like watching all the other to the death mixed martial arts combat
TV
channels
shows that are on nowadays.
Yeah, so they're like,
too distant future.
We're gonna have to start just taking people.
Yeah,
to get up the horror factor.
And it's someone like high up in government as well, in the government's media wing, it can pull the strings to get the laws passed pretty quickly.
Yeah,
and so. A black van rocks up outside Chris Pratt's apartment, yanks him from his computer screen.
Yeah.
And he gets put in the game.
In the game.
That's when you realise that Chris Pratt is also a monster as well.
Yeah.
I think the game's put together to try and turn them into monsters.
Yeah.
Like making them make sacrifices.
Yeah.
To either stay alive or.
The first season of it, I think it started off as it being actual like serial killers and people on death row, but it was so popular, and then there were just weren't enough of them.
Yeah, they dried up.
Yeah.
Dried up. Killed them all. Mm. What are we gonna do, guys? Come on.
There are people that wanted to be there, and
yeah,
like, I think it's in the Big Brother stage now of like. I didn't even know Big Brother was still on.
Yeah, it's like the Truman Show. It's on 24/7 on its own channel. Yeah.
We've got a bit of a public shaming angle here, a la White Bear or John Ronson.
Mm.
We've got a bit of a sort of Running Man vibe going on.
I'm also thinking, have you seen the film Predators?
What's that?
Is that Predator 2?
No, it's... I've got it somewhere.
It's not like Aliens to Alien.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
it is.
It's basically you know how Predator is in the jungle and the Predator is just there.
Yeah.
Right. Well, in Predators, these people all get dropped in a jungle on another planet.
Yeah.
Right. And they're hunted by predators.
Oh.
Sport.
Jeez. Oh. Okay. Yeah. Nice.
It's pretty. It's a bloody good film. Like it's. Mm-hmm. It's a bit high concept.
Yeah, but... I mean, so is Alien vs. Predator, but, you know, it's...
Yeah, Alien vs. Predator is a shit film.
Yeah, it's pretty
But
good
Predators
concept.
Is actually not bad.
Anyway.
It's not a good concept.
It is a good... It's just as good a concept as any. Like, it is. It's like Big Ziggurat where it's like they've come to hunt the alien.
Mm.
Like, these people are kind of trapped in there with them. And gotta help them. It's weird.
I guess. I think the only thing that would make it better is if Terminator came back from the future.
Yeah.
As well. That'd be great.
Predator, I think, is a really good concept, though.
Mm.
Like, it's a like the whole. Those guys, the Predators, whatever they're called, the aliens.
Predators, I think you just know them.
Yeah.
There's a good idea for an alien, bad guy.
Really, really good. Design as
just
well.
Go hunt some stuff.
That's the thing, like old Stan Winston stuff, Terminator, Alien, and Predator.
Yeah.
Mm.
All amazing looking creatures.
Yeah.
That all have men in suits.
Yeah.
Actually, no, Terminator. Terminator's a puppet, I think.
Is it?
Well, it's Arnie, but. Like,
being puppeteered around.
When it's an actual robot.
I think you can
that's really cool.
If you go to Universal, you can actually puppeteer Arnie around.
Let me go.
Please.
There's a portal.
Let me go.
You can crawl through his portal and you end up inside Arnie.
Yeah, the John Malkovich ride shut down, but.
Being Arnold's.
You get to govern Florida.
So,
I think that would make being John Malkovich so much better if it was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But it's still cool being John Malkovich. It's just Arnold Schwarzenegger playing John Malkovich.
I thought you meant that would make being John Malkovich better if it was a trailer for a real thing you could go and do.
It's all we're on the up and up here, all round, to be fair.
Being John Malkovich. Yeah, but if it was still, like you said, if it was still called Being John Malkovich, except somehow they got into the body of Arnie instead. Yeah.
So, just so you can see what it's like to be at the peak of human fitness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
right, where were we at?
What's happening in this episode? What lesson do we want to teach? And how is it going to end?
Don't kill people. It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Is there a winner?
No.
They never leave?
Well, I think there is a winner, but it's much like Battle Royale. No one really wins.
Yeah.
Maybe because they're taking innocent people and Chris Pratt has like a... has this manslaughter.
Mm.
He knows what it's like to kill and will not do it again.
Yeah.
Mm.
So he's completely resisting everything inside the...
He's like Katniss in the
Hunger Games. Yeah, he's Katnissing it where, like...
God, it's the only interesting thing you can do with this fucking Hunger Games bastardry scenario, isn't it?
No, it's not. Because Katniss, like, refuses to kill people all the way through the Hunger Games. If you sort of put them in a situation where they had to kill people and then they found out they enjoyed killing people, that'd be much more interesting.
And he enjoyed killing people, so he identifies with the people who are watching.
Mm.
And then, like, starts talking to them.
Mm.
Like, starts doing kind of sermons from inside the inside the cameras.
So he becomes a... Like, he starts a new religion inside.
He gets more and more popular. He starts picking up his popularity. He's the first one to do it. Like, but then, everyone else is, like, scared until they're dead. Yeah. He's the only one who starts reveling in it.
Yes. Yeah. But then the guy who's, like, really up for killing everybody is, like... He's on him. It's gonna happen. Chris Pratt's gonna die.
Yeah.
And he's like on top of him, and as he's about to get it, he just gets shot in the head.
Yeah.
And there's a team of SWAT team coming and take Chris Pratt out because the viewers are so in love with him that they have to. They've like stormed the studio
and are protesting. There's a bit where Chris Pratt has just ripped this person's insides out and he's holding them above his head going, "Yes! I am the king!" And then starts eating them. And,
oh, God.
Yeah.
And John Cena is the guy who's like trying to kill him.
Just I said Dave Bautista.
Yeah, but John Cena just
John Cena's the presenter
guy you put in so that he'll win.
No, he's a presenter. He's the first ever winner.
Okay.
John Cena got out the first year, and he was so popular he now presents it.
Yeah,
which again is just Hunger Games.
Yeah, I think ends with
Caesar like never presented, was in the Hunger Games.
It begins and ends with Chris Pratt being interviewed by John Cena.
Yeah,
so like it's sort of like framing device.
Okay, yeah. So we've got a lot of framing devices here.
Yeah,
we've got one with interviews. The next one in the producer's office. Ratings are down.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, they've got like flashback to Chris Pratt accidentally killing someone with a car.
Yeah.
Then flash forward to him being put into a forested area.
Yeah.
There we go. Screaming bloody murder.
That was a one.
Heck.
And the next one from Chart Russell, we've got "You Look Beautiful in Black."
Now listen, guys. I've got an idea for this one.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be a little bit too much.
Okay.
So you gotta tell me if it's a little bit too much.
Okay.
So let's have Noel Clark.
Okay.
From Mickey from Doctor
Who.
Mickey from Doctor Who.
Too fucking
too much. That is too much.
Yeah. He's he works in he's a mortician.
Okay.
Right. And he's going out on a date with a lady.
Oh no.
Yeah. This train before it starts?
Keep going.
Keep going. You're interested in it. It'd probably make a good Black Mirror episode, but holy shit.
They're going.
My sick mind wants
They're going to a black tie event.
Okay.
Right. So she's dressed up and she's got this lovely black dress, and he's like, "Oh, you look amazing." And she's like, "Oh, thanks." And she's played by, let's say she's played by Saran Jones. Saran Jones is great. She's Dr. Foster on the BBC thing. Saran Jones is great, excellent. Google her, you'll recognise her face. She's on lots of things.
Yeah.
So they're going out on a date, and she's got this beautiful black dress on, and they're getting there, but On the way, she gets hit by a car.
Okay.
Bad thing. It's a bad time. It's a real bad time. Okay. And she gets killed. And of course, you know, poor Noel Clarke is inconsolable.
Yeah. He's like, oh, damn.
Shit. He was going to propose to her that night.
Oh, right. They've it been was dating
like,
for a while.
They've been dating for a while. No, no, it wasn't like a start off. Yeah. No, no, it's like a... You know, they've been dating for a long time. He was going to propose to her.
Been
he was
living together.
Smitten. They've been living together. Yeah. It was sort of like, you know, they were at this black tie dinner. It was all really wonderful. And of course, he's like, you know, I can't let anyone else. I've got to be the one that, you know, puts her to rest, does the mortician thing. So he's, you know, that's, you know, sort of getting the preparation thing. And she's still wearing the black dress. And he's just like, oh, you look so beautiful in black. And he just... He sort of, you know, does all the touches up they do, you know, puts all the makeup on, but he just can't bring himself to actually say goodbye to her.
No.
I'm not saying that he actually...
No.
It's just implied. It's not outright.
What's implied, Jenny?
Up to you guys. So we have the funeral and it's a closed casket and you know, it's sort of, they have this big funeral and they say goodbye and then we go back and he just pulls out this drawer and she's still in his mortuary. She's still in one of the little fridges they've got there.
Okay.
And he goes and he sits down and he just talks to her. He's just like having a chat, telling about the day and how sad it was and who was there and how everyone, it's just... You know, he's this sort of becomes his ritual. As he's working, he talks to her. He pulls a little drawer out of the fridge and he talks to her while he's working. He goes and tells her about his day at the end of the day. Just talking to her about it.
Oh, God.
And it's just, that's you know...
That's
I'm
the
trying
episode.
To, I'm, you know, this is the main premise. I'm trying to think how it all goes properly to shit. I'm thinking he starts seeing her talking back.
There's no... technology in this yet?
No.
Does there have to
this
be?
This is where the technology comes in. You know those sex robots that have been made?
Yeah.
You know how they look really lifelike now?
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah. No, I don't.
The lips are scary.
Like, you kind of have to double take until scary. They start talking. In which they're like...
I do not have to double take.
They look like... Right. The
maybe
sex
I've
robots,
seen different ones.
The sex robots. I said this to my dad. They look like Thunderbirds characters without the strings. You can remake Thunderbirds with sex robots and no strings.
Yeah,
it'd be the strangest looking thing ever.
Oh God!
Like in the background, you've got real people as extras.
I love it. Isn't that just Team America? Near enough.
Kind of, yeah. I think each episode we've done of the Black Mirror specials has had a theme, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess the first one we did was more about technology.
Yeah.
Yep.
Than murders and faces.
Yeah. This one's been a lot about murders and faces.
Yeah.
This one's very body horror.
Think this one... So I think that there's like a new... burial thing that's like all in the style, so there's like it's like perfect preservation, and they have like glass coffins, and it's like there's a proper presentation. That's like that's the new burial trend, but he's sort of like he's trying to get ready, so he's done this all perfect preservation on her, but he's like I can't say goodbye to her, so he's just like oh she never wanted that, she wanted a classic, normal burial, normal one.
I didn't finish my sex robot point.
All right, okay. Can you? I thought. I'm sorry.
Please,
I didn't.
Please,
I thought I had finished with Thunderbirds.
Please go on, Tom.
continue the sex robot point.
With this thing that no good can come off.
Yeah. No, please dig.
So, yeah, there's this thing where it's like, oh yeah, your loved one died. I mean, it's not a sex robot, but it's a robot.
Hang on.
It's already been
this
done.
Is already a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah. Shit.
Forgot. See,
this is why
okay.
I'm not. I don't want to bring
here's,
it back. We don't want to bring
idea.
It back.
Here's an idea, right? So, a personal assistant. You know how you can get when you go shopping online.
Yeah.
Those things that like you take a survey. It gets to know you. It gets to know your style.
Yeah.
It recommends clothes for you.
Yeah.
you sort of like, and it starts to know you better and better, and sort of tailor your tastes and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, what about one of those that knows you like wearing black, but knows you better than you know yourself, right? Mm. So it starts to get a feel for like, oh, right. So someone's like loved one dies, and it's like for the next few weeks wears a lot of black, right? Mm-hmm. Funeral, but also just in mourning,
yeah,
etc. Something goes wrong with the algorithm that makes it think that that is the thing, when they cross-reference it with social media, that that's the thing that's going to make you happy in yourself and make you feel prettiest, is if more of your loved ones start dying.
What?
Right, okay.
So it starts like,
again, it's not giving really the you point, reasons. Really.
Starts giving you reasons to wear black.
That's now, technology gone wrong. That's listen, not people gone wrong with technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more of a HAL situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we want to start a whole new episode pitch for this title? Or are we right, because that's a whole new story. Tom, I mean, pick yeah. one. Pick your, pick one. Bad robot HAL man.
I just immediately wanted to stay away from the potential for corpse fucking.
No, they were waiting till marriage. No, that's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. It's all weird. Everything listen, proposed so far is weird.
I said there's no corpse fucking. He's not done a thing. He just can't say goodbye to her, guys. That's all. He just doesn't want to let her go.
That's great.
And she looks so beautiful in black.
That's great, but where is the black mirror? And also, where does anything go sort of squiff? Like, where? How does this diverge from the one where you put your loved one's self into the...
See, this is where I need a little bit of assistance, because I've got the start. I just don't know how to make it different in the rest of it.
Well, this is why I think, like, we should take a different route. Like, a different sort of tack on this idea, because I don't think you can. I think that is so close to that one that's already been done.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just cut out my whole thing and restart this episode. A fresh, clean slate. Screw up the draft. It's gone. No more Noel Clark.
You look beautiful in black.
So, I have another idea. Like the one with the...
Maybe. It's about a new dating trend, which is a room where all the lights are completely off, so you can't see the person you're talking to.
Dating in the dark.
They look beautiful. Is that an actual program?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Never watched it, but yeah.
Is that on like E4 or some shit?
Probably, yeah.
Oh. It's all right. Well, E4, listen, call me. I've got some ideas. Reality you've probably done them. To it. Okay.
Dating in the dark. You're onto something there. I think.
Ooh. What about? What about a dating app where you can choose the features of your date that you like? Right.
Okay.
The thing is that it's all. All the stats are publicly acknowledged,
mm-hmm.
So it's all out there, right?
Okay.
So the quote-unquote perfect woman is averaged out and found, and it's all the stats are up. Because you know how like Tinder and all the dating apps, Plenty of Fish and stuff, do a lot of statistical analysis on all their stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
They do this, but they put it out and society gets obsessed with it, right?
Yeah.
So the perfect woman and perfect man are ascertained. Mm-hmm. And people try to be exactly like those things.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. And as such, I think, like, you end up putting a load of power into the hands of either whoever's running it or whoever's, like, influencing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, they might say, I really like... The average might be, like, thin, 5'6", blonde with... a red dress on and red nail varnish with, like, you know, sort of like just all adding all these caveats,
all the ingredients,
and so
women are choosing to dress exactly like that to become as close to that central concept as possible.
But suddenly goths...
Yeah.
Is that how this is going?
Like, I'm trying to figure out how, like, someone tries to... someone abuses that. I'm sort of thinking that maybe this thing is like a VR experience, right? So you're seeing the other person, but the VR has overlaid all the features that you wanted onto that person.
Okay. Kind of like Shallow Hal, I guess.
Oh my god, yes.
Kind of, yeah, because you can't see anyone as anything other than your perfect desire.
That's amazing.
And yeah, so you get to know them in real.
Yeah.
And then but as soon as that filter, like people, someone chooses to be
with
each other.
Shall we take the filter off?
So,
discussion.
You see this person, let's swap it around. Let's say there's a woman.
Yep.
And she's looking for a perfect man.
Yeah.
Like, that she wants physically. So she's going through this thing.
Yeah.
Creating, like, a sim, basically.
Yeah,
yeah. An avatar that's her perfect desire.
Mm.
Yeah.
But we see it, we frame it as she's going on the same date with the same guy over and over again, except he's telling... different stories, got different personalities.
Yeah. Different voice. Things.
Yeah. Each time. So,
he looks exactly like Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He looks exactly like Oscar Isaac the entire, like, the whole time. And you're sort of like, what's going on here? So, he's, like, wearing this black suit all the time. And it's got that Shallow Hal vibe where you're looking at the person, you're like, this is what is attractive to me physically.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's a whole thing of, like, can you really, really, like, I don't know, it's sort of love at first sight kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think the intent of the app, the intent of the VR simulation thing, is to take that away.
Mm.
So you can always be with your most attractive person and find your soulmate personally.
Yeah.
It takes away the physical, so it strips it away so that you can get to, like, it's not love at first sight. It's always love at first sight because you find them incredibly attractive all the time.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, don't judge a book by its cover in a way. Like, that's the dual idea.
Yeah.
Is that, like, hey, you can really find your soulmate without worrying about what they look like.
What I like about this is it's quite positive, as in, like, you're looking... because everyone looks the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're judging them purely on their personality.
But then, right? So, and you can have sex in this simulation and it's, like, almost as good and all that sort of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're having a happy relationship.
Mm. Yeah.
And then she finds someone she's having a happy relationship with, the same person.
Yeah.
And then they stop coming to dates.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And she has to track them down and they've become incredibly ill.
Mm.
And so she has to go to, like, they have to have this conversation where they're in a hospital bed and, like, just as a disembodied stock avatar because they're using a hospital computer.
Yeah.
And they're having a conversation like, shall we drop the filter?
Yeah.
Like, shall we meet in real life and ruin that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that you can see me while I'm ill in bed, maybe dying, maybe not.
Yeah.
Like, is that a thing we can do? And I think... there's got to be something darker about this. It's too nice.
Well, it's a happy one.
Okay.
It's a happy one.
I've never seen a happy one, so I'll take your word for
it. It's one of the happy ones.
It's frustrating and worrying, but then at the end it's actually kind of alright, isn't it?
It does have very San Junipero
vibes. This is basically San Junipero, isn't it?
Because obviously, because she has to go to the hospital and the filter's off in this place. It's only the filter is only available in certain parts.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You have to take it off in the hospital because of interference with things or whatever.
You can't turn on in hospital, so it's like
it messes with the MRI machine or whatever.
Yeah,
definitely mess with the. I mean, what?
Yeah, man.
just clicking your fingers around an MRI machine. Jesus Christ.
Mental.
She gets to the hospital bed and she sees him and, like, not only is, like, he ill, but he's also, like, very badly injured all over his body, like maybe car crash or something, or train crash. Car crash is overused.
It is,
train crash or helicopter crash.
Helicopter crash, yeah.
It just comes down with something like what do they call it? Not a tumor, not a tumor, a clot, a blood clot in the brain or something. Yeah, something that's like medical.
Something that deforms.
Oh, right, yeah, I see what you're trying to say.
It's like it's kind of a Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Like a stroke or something.
Kind of, yeah.
Like face paralysis or whatever.
It turns out to be, who's the ugliest man you can think of?
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh my God.
Turns out to be Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Andrew Lloyd Webber with the Phantom of the Opera mask on. just covering the deformed side of his face.
Tiny gargoyle man.
Tiny gargoyle man.
I mean, I've got a way of making this a dark one.
All right, what's that?
I don't want to be this guy. I don't want to be the one that does it every time and makes it horrible.
Please, do it.
So, he's in this hospital bed and they're sort of having a talk and he's like, I just completely changed the whole way I'm living this life, you know, because this is a new development. And they're sort of having this chat and she's realising, like, he's not happy and I can't be with him really like this. It would never be as perfect
as
Oscar Isaac. And she, the end of the episode is that she ends up getting the pillow and just gently placing it over his face. He always looks so beautiful in black.
He's wearing white.
He's wearing white in a hospital bed. Yeah. And then...
That's so dumb.
Yeah.
Also needless. And she can just dump him.
She could just leave.
Yeah.
But no, she has to murder him.
Hey, right, listen. I didn't see either of you fuckers coming up with it.
It's so needless.
Why not have, like, while Oscar Isaac is... We can do something with this. While, not that. not what would happen.
Not that.
While he's in hospital, she's still on the simulation. And so other guys are coming in and looking exactly like the person she's just spent her, like, the rest of her sort of romantic last few years with or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's sort of tempting to just go, nah.
Yeah.
You know, I could go off with the next person because they look exactly the same.
The whole thing of trading up.
Yeah.
Kind of
thing,
yeah.
Or trading across or just...
Yeah.
Replacing something that's broken, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There'd be that sort of... And that would speak to maybe the trends in Tinder that's like plenty more fish in the sea sort of thing. Like,
nobody
invests in a Tinder date because they know that they've got another Tinder date on Friday.
Mm. Yeah.
But then she keeps on doing that and then realises that there's no one like her Andrew Lloyd Webber. Homunculus, yeah.
Yeah.
Homunculus.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a positive
like
one again. She doesn't have to kill him with a pillow.
I think like he's kind of bound to a machine. Like he has to have external organs pumping it through. And so he rolls around in this little cart. It's like black. It's a black cube, and he's rolling around in it.
From Star Trek.
Yeah, that one. He's rolling around in that black cube.
Is he Davros?
Davros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that's like one beat for yes, two beats for no.
Yeah.
I do have a bit from of
Futurama.
A fear.
What's it from Captain Pike's in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I do have a fear this is a dreadfully ableist piece of shit we've just created.
Fine.
But then I killed him with a pillow.
It paints her as a dreadfully ableist piece of shit unless she's like fine with it.
You miced and mend them.
I did mice
and mend them. Well, I'm completely down for the black box hovering around.
I'd be down for black box in real. Give me black box.
You look good in black.
Just give me flat roads everywhere I go, and I'll be down for the black box.
Yeah, I think we end it there.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Bloody hell!
What was that?
What just happened?
That was a good tough luck. One.
It was a tough one. It was very, very difficult. Why didn't you choose it?
I like that title a lot, though.
It was a great title.
I really like that title.
We just couldn't do anything.
Cleverer people than us have to be a part of it.
I think I did something with it.
Yeah, what, kill a
but
man.
Nobody else was comfortable with the implications of my decisions.
Right.
And with that, we remind you... if you want to listen to every one of our episodes, please go to soundcloud.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast.
Maybe get to some of the more normal ones that don't go real dark places.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that.
It's a Black Mirror special.
You've got to come into this one with a little bit of a... Ooh.
Yeah, but usually they're like good.
Yeah, usually they're good.
Yeah.
Go over to SoundCloud. Go over to Facebook and Twitter. If you enjoyed this, you can go over to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. And if you want to help us out and help this get to other people's ears. And you can also, if you really enjoy the show and have done for a bit, then you can absolutely go over to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast to kick us a couple of dollars, even as little as $1 a month. Mm. And with that, you'll be able to vote for the genre each week.
Mm. People voted for Black Mirror this week and last week. Well, they voted for Black Mirror for the genre. We just made it 2 weeks.
And I'm sure they'll be very happy with their choice.
They'll see what they've done and never vote for it again. but if you want to be involved in deciding what genre we pitch each week, you can go over to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast.
The people who've contributed already on patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast, please go there. The people who've contributed already are Ross_Originals, My Wasted Talent, Brandon Spanky Mills, Joe Hegarty, Brent Black, Darius the Unsettling, and Mihir Trivedi. Thanks, guys.
Thank you all. You're helping the podcast get better every single week. And thank you.
Babes.
Yes, they are what babes. I agree.
What babes.
And thank you, listener, for, well, listening. We really appreciate it. And, well, until you find yourself... Was there a good one we did this week?
No. Until... Right.
Hey, I mean, what was the one we did in the first episode?
I got it. And until you find yourself in an arena filled with serial killers, I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Matt Turner.
And I'm sorry.
That's Jenny Garner, not that one.
That's me.
Remember who pitched it.
Bye.